I said, I do, but no, thank you.
All right, so we'll say good morning. Let's begin. I always feel guilty on Sunday mornings beginning the shiur. Everybody seems like they're having so much fun. So, all right, so today's daf is daf vav.
Daf vav 6.
Okay. Stephen is here to assist this morning. Started a new intern program at the shul. He's turning. that's really enough. All right. So we'll say today's daf is daf vav. We have a sponsor this morning to thank Debbie Howarth for sponsoring the Shir Le'ili Nishmas, her father, Avram Mordechai Ben Ephraim. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, his neshama will have an aliyah. All right. So we'll see a very, very interesting daf today. Let's pick up. Today's daf is vav, as I mentioned. But we're actually going to pick up. We're going to pick up Hey Amud Beis. Let's just actually pick up with the line of 2, 4, 6, 8, 9 lines up from the bottom. Elo. Bosek, remember again, the sugya the Gemara was dealing with yesterday is trying to figure out how do we know that the halal, that the empty space, the internal empty, we'll call it the sukkah cavity, has to be 10 tefachim, not including any type of width of the schach. So the conclusion the Gemara reaches, El Rabbi Huda, Hilchasa Gemirila. Rabbi Huda paskins that the idea that a sukkah must be 10 tefachim, again, that its cavity must be 10 tefachim, I'm sorry. Its cavity must be 10 tefachim, ultimately is what we call a halacha l'Moshe Misinai. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Chiya bar Ashi, Amar Rav, Shi'urin chatzitzin u'mechitzin halacha l'Moshe Misinai. Because Rav Chiya bar Ashi said the name of Rav, that Shi'urin, Rav Osei, will define all of these things in the Gemara, but just a quick look at Rashi, Shi'urin Rashi says, Shali Surin, this concept of a shir, Bayin Isser, Kigon Kizayis the Cholachilas Isser, because Savas Lemekipurim. The idea of Osei have certain shirim, the idea that certain prohibited items have a shir, for example, of a Kizayis, that's a halacha l'Moshe Misinai. Chatzitzin, chatzitza is an interposition. Chatzitza refers to something that obstructs the water of a mikvah from coming in contact with the body. The concept of chatzitza is a halacha l'Moshe Misinai. Mechitzin, the Gemara suggests the concept of a mechitza, which for our purposes means what? The notion that a mechitza is a minimum of 10 tefachim high. All of these things are halacha l'moshe misinai. So therefore, Rabbi Osai, Rabbi Huda doesn't learn it out from the Aron, Rabbi Huda doesn't learn it out from the Kruvim, Rabbi Huda from the Kapores, Rabbi Huda learns it out because the concept of a mechitza being 10 tefachim high is a halacha l'moshe misinai. I will say, just along those lines, Ben Sion, you'll remind me, I have one halacha l'maisa to go back to. Does anyone have the sheet from Friday? No. Yeah, thank you. Just remind me at the end of the shiur, I want to go back because somebody who just asked me about the edges of the wall after davening was Kivin Och. So just I want to close that loop at the end of the shiur. All right, nothing to do with what I just said before. So the Gemara. So now that we've said that this concept of mechitza is halacha l'moshe misinai, and now that we just said this theme of the name of Rav, that shiur and chatzitzin and mechitzin are halacha l'moshe misinai, the Gemara wants to go ahead now and dissect this statement. So the Gemara says, Shi'urin da'oraisininu. So the Gemara says, I'm sorry, Shi'urin da'oraisininu. You just told me before that Shi'urim are halacha l'moshe misinai. So mostly, what does it mean a shir? For example, we know we just spent the Maseches Yuma. We discussed the idea that the shir for achila ultimately is a koseves gasel, size of a large date. We spoke about that the shir for drinking is mali lugma. We know that the shir normally for consumption of a treif item, a non kosher item, is a kizayis. So the Gemara says, all of those things are halacha l'moshe misinai. The Gemara asks, that's not true. Shi'urna da'oraisa. I will say, obviously, halacha l'moshe misinai is also considered a da'oraisa. So what does it mean when the Gemara says, no, it's a da'oraisa? What the Gemara says is that there's a proof text. That when the Gemara uses the word da'oraisa in this context, it means there is a pasuk from which we learn these concepts out. The whole chap of halacha l'moshe misinai is, there's no scriptural allusion. There is no proof text. There is no positive. That's why it's called Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. It's part of Torah Shabbat Peh, which still makes it biblical in nature, but we don't have a positive for it. So the Gemara says, Shurna's Doraisa. Where do we learn Shurna from? So we had this Gemara before. Dichsiv, Eretz Chita Usoro, the Gefenu Te'in of Rimon, Eretz Zeis Shemen Udvash. The positive by the Shiva Saminim, a land of wheat, barley, grapes, figs, pomegranates, a land of zeis shemen, of olive oil, udvash, and dates, right? In this context, again, dates really doesn't mean dates. Dates is more a reference to honey. So the Gemara goes on. The Gemara says, "Am Rav Chanin, kol haposek hazeh l'shiurin ne'emar." This entire pasuk is to teach us about shiurin. How so? Ne'emar chita lebeis hamenuga. So, for example, what does chita teach us? Chita teaches us the house for a beis hamenuga. Beis hamenuga is a home that has been afflicted with saras, disnan, because we learned in the Mishnah, hanichnas lebeis hamenuga, if someone walks into a home that has been stricken with saras, the kelov al ksefav, and he's holding his clothing, kelov al ksefav literally means his clothing is on his shoulder, v'sandolav v'tabaosa biado, and he's holding his sandals and his rings in his hand. So we'll say in this case, what's happening over here is a person is not wearing their clothing, but rather a person is carrying their clothing. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, "Kelov al ksefav she'ino lavush bo," and he's not wearing his clothing. "V'sandolav v'tabaosav biyado, achuzin biyado tabaosav dumya desandolav." So what is the halacha? The halacha is hu vehein tenein miyad. Ultimately, both the individual, who means his body, his person, as well as the utensils, i.e. his clothing, his rings, his sandals, everything becomes tameh immediately. Look at the last Rashi. Tameh and miyad, says Rashi, below shihia. They both say that is true. Even if they were to go ahead and just simply enter into the home for a moment, they would be instantaneously tameh. Rashi says, dichsiv, because the pasuk says, v'habo el habayis yitma. So the Gemara says, because literally, when do you become tameh? Habo el habayis. The moment you come into the house, you are tameh. Fine. Tap of vav. However, hayalavush, a person was wearing kelav this sandalav biraglov. Excuse me. Hayalavush kelav. If a person was wearing his clothing, this sandalav biraglov and his shoes, his sandals were on his feet. Bitabaosav beetzbaosav and his rings were on his finger. So we'll say in this case again, a person is wearing his clothing in the way he's supposed to. What's talava? Hu tamei miyad. The moment he enters into the home with saras, he becomes instantaneously tameh. Vehein tohorin ad sheyisha b'chdei achilas pras. And he, however, excuse me, his utensils are only tameh when if he waits there long enough to be able to eat achilas pras. Now we'll define that in just a moment. So we'll say, look at Rashi here for just a moment. Rashi says, if he's wearing, look at Rashi, vehein tohorin ad sheyisha. So again, remember, what's happening over here? In case number one, where he's not wearing his garments, he's not wearing his shoes, he's not wearing his jewelry, he's carrying everything. So essentially, everything has the status of his body, so to speak. And therefore, lemaisa, as soon as he enters into the house, everything becomes tameh immediately. If he's wearing his clothing, he's wearing his sandals, he's wearing his rings, his body becomes tameh immediately upon entry into the home, but everything else only becomes tameh until the time that it's, well, actually, let's read the rest of this. Actually, yishe b'chdei achilas pras, the time that it takes him to eat a half a loaf, what type of loaf? Paschitin, a half a loaf of wheat bread, velo pas se'orin, not barley bread, mesav, in a reclining state, v'ocha b'liftan, and eating it with a spread, eating it with some type of condiment. So look at Rashi, what's happening over here? Rashi says, V'hein toren ad sheyisha. This is very interesting. Dichsiv, v'ha'ochal babayis yichabes, b'dashinam b'toras konim, ainli el ochal. So we'll say, the Gemara, that the pasuk that the Gemara is quoting over here is the following. The Torah says, v'ha'shochev, ha'shochev babayis, yichabes es begadav. One who lies down in the home will have to launder his clothing. Laundering your clothing doesn't literally mean laundering. What it means over here is immersing your clothing in a mikvah. So the idea is that one who lays down in the house has to go ahead and immerse his clothing, becomes tameh, has to immerse his clothing in the mikvah. And then the pasuk says, "V'ha'ochel babayis yichabes es begadav." But it also says that whoever eats in the home also has to launder his clothing. So it says Rashi. Says Rashi, "V'dashim b'toras konim einli ela ochel v'shochev." Ochel below shochev, shochev below ochel, lo ochev below shochev minayin. So we'll say this is very interesting. So the Gemara says over here, it's interesting that the pasuk chooses to quote these two actions of lying down and eating. So what happens? So it makes it sound like if you have to lie down and you have to eat. What happens if you only lie down but you don't eat? What happens if you only eat but if you don't lie down? Or what happens if you do neither, but you're in the home for a certain amount of time? How do I know in those circumstances that lemaisa, the clothing is still tameh? Talmud lomar yichabes begadav, riba shtei pa'amim. Because also here's what's interesting. The Torah repeats the phrase, yichabes es begadav, twice. So why? V'im sofno l'rabos hakol. Ma talmud lomar va'ochel. Litin shir l'shochev kidei achila shein tonks kibus begadav. So we'll say So what the Gemara learns out is the following. The fact that the Torah goes ahead and uses this phrase, Yechabes Begadov, twice, and if that's the case, then the second one really is extraneous. What is it coming to teach us? It's coming to teach us that if one remains in the home for the amount of time that it would take one to eat, eat what? A half a loaf of what kind of bread? Of wheat bread. Now, the reason the Gemara says wheat bread is apparently wheat bread is easier to consume. It's easier to digest, easier to swallow. So it goes down faster than barley bread. So if you remain in the home for the amount of time that it takes to eat a half a loaf of wheat bread in a reclining position with lift on, what does lift on matter? Apparently, you could eat bread faster if you're eating it with some type of condiment. I guess like with a spread of some sort than just to eat plain bread by itself. So if you remain in the Bayis HaMiyuga for a long enough amount of time to engage in these actions, then what? Then what? Then your clothing is tamei. Remember, when does your person become tamei? Immediately. Good. Immediately upon entry into the home, right? Immediately upon entry into the home. Clothing only becomes tamei if you wait for the amount of time. So the Gemara is understanding over here that that's what we learn from chita. Next, seora. What do we learn from seora? Visnan etzam kiseora metamei b'mago b'masa. What do we learn from Sora? Remember, I will say, the whole premise of the Gemara is that this entire pasuk of the Shiva Saminim, yes, it teaches us Shiva Saminim, but more importantly, it teaches us Shiurim. So what do we learn from Sora? We learn that, Etzem Ki Sora, that if you have a bone fragment, Rabbi Osai, the halacha is that a bone fragment is metame even the size of a barley kernel. Rashi says, Etzem Ki Sora Minames. Good. Metame b'maga u'b'masa. Has the ability to transmit tuma. Maga means direct contact. Masa means carrying. The chap of masa, of course, means carrying even without direct contact. So, for example, let's say someone were to put a bone fragment on the pillow, and I were to carry the pillow, masa says I still become tamei. So the minimum amount, the minimum shear for a bone fragment to convey tuma is like a barley kernel. The Gemara goes back. However, again, such a small bone fragment would not go ahead and convey tuma ba'ohel. Tuma ba'ohel means that there's a tuma sa'ohel means if you're under the same roof as a mace, you become tummy. Look at Rashi. Every time, but oh well. Kashir zeh at sheyehei shedra o gilgoles shlema o rov minyan evaria adam. So we'll say, apparently, when it comes to tumas ames, in order to go ahead and there has to be at least shedra, literally is a spine. Gilgoles shlema means a full skull or the majority of the limbs of a body. But a small bone fragment, although it will convey tuma through maga and masa, will not convey tuma through ohel. Gefen, what do we learn from Gefen? Kedei revius lenozir. We learn from Gefen that for a nozir, in order to go out and be in violation of his Nazirite vow, he must consume at least what? He must consume at least a revius of wine. Te'ena, what do we learn from Te'ena? So we'll say we learn from Te'ina that in order to be chayiv for carrying food items on Shabbos, you must carry at least what? The size of a large date. Grogeres, size of a date. Rashi says, Te'ina ma shi'uraba ki grogeres lo tzah Shabbos shi'uraba kol ochlem. Now also what's interesting over here is that Te'ina becomes the shear for all food items. For all food items, that in order for you to be chayiv, remember we saw this back in our Shabbos days, that the interesting part by carrying on Shabbos is it's a subjective shear. What do I mean by subjective shear? Not subjective by me, but subjective by the item. Because you're only chayiv on Shabbos for carrying what? Something that is chashuv. What? Something that is important. What is considered to be the definition of chashuv al chashivos? Depends on the item. Depends on the item. So by food items, the Gemara is going to say, ki grogera, size of a date. Okay, weiter. The Gemara says, fig, I'm sorry. The Gemara says, Rimon, thank you. Rimon, what about a pomegranate? This is very interesting, I will say. And again, the reason why this is exciting is because we've seen this Gemara already. We've actually seen it, at least twice. We had it, this Gemara comes up in Brachos, the Gemara comes up in Shabbos, maybe even comes up in other Masechtos. I don't know. I mean, you can look at the Masorah and Sashas. Oh, here you can see it comes up Shabbos, Kalim, Erevin, Brachos. Come on, we know this. This is like, I feel bad even wasting your time with this. All right, so the Gemara goes right there. Rimon, what about the pomegranate? This is another great case. This nan, kol klei ba'alei batim, shi'urin kerimonim. I will say, the halacha is the following. If you have a kli, if you have a kli and that kli becomes tame. So the halacha is that a kli retains its tumah status until when? Until the point that it loses its designation as a kli. When does an item lose its designation as a kli?
Right.
When it no longer could function in the capacity of a kli. So what would normally happen, the common householder, say he would go ahead and he'd have a hole in his utensils. So what was, let's say the hole was the size of an olive. So what would he do? Well, right? He'd use it for apples. Okay, good. And what happens when it developed, the size of an apple? Or he'd use it for tangerines. Mm-hmm. What happens when it goes ahead and, you develops all the size of tangerine? He uses it for apples. Apples, pop. The idea is that a balabas would be very reticent to throw out his utensil. Also, you understand, this sounds a little bit foreign for us. We live in a very disposable society. But once upon a time, people really did not like to throw things away. So the idea is that the balabas, the balabayis, would keep on using his utensil pretty much until it had the hole, a hole the size of a pomegranate. It was like, once you have a utensil that has the hole of a pomegranate, pretty much, it's not usable. Even, no matter how much you like to save stuff, you've got to get rid of that. I'm sorry? Usually when they talk about kalim, they usually talk about earthenware utensils. Good question, though. So the Gemara says over here, but this is different, let's say, than a vendor. A vendor, a merchant, obviously, as soon as he would go ahead and have a utensil with a hole in it, Lamaisi would have to get rid of it because nobody's buying a utensil with a hole in it. So the Gemara says the following. So let's read this. This Rimon, kol klei balibatim shirin karimonim. So when it comes to the kilim of the balibatim, Rashi says, kol klei balibatim shirin binikvehem, the size of the hole that will render the kli unfit. And I will say again, there's good news and bad news. The bad news is that once it has a hole the size of a pomegranate, it's not really usable for anything. The good news is what? At that very moment, it loses its tumah. Because once it's no longer fit to be used as a kli, it loses that identity as a kli. Once it loses identity as a kli, it loses its tumah as a kli, which means that it's once again tar, which means what? That if you were to go ahead and repair it, the utensil would once again become Tahor, according to some opinions. Look at Rashi, Karimon, Da'ad Shenikav Kimotzi Rimon, because until the Kli has a hole the size of a Rimon, Shem Kli Alav, it has the shame of a Kli, U'mekabel Tuma, and it is Mekabel Tuma, Lefi Shavalabayis Chas Al Kelov, U'kishimotzi Zesim, U'mishtamish Bo Rimonim, Ava Kli Uman, but Rabbo said, this is only by a Stam Balabayis, a Kli Uman, by a vendor, by a merchant, Sh'omed Li Mocher, Tahor Benekev Koshu. So Rabbo said, again, the good news is by a vendor, once he has a utensil that has the hole, any size, by definition for him, that's lost its identity as a kli, and therefore would lose its tumah as well. Weiter, Eretz Zeis Shemen Udvash. The pasuk says a land of literally olive oil. So the Gemara says Eretz Shekoshi, or really Eretz Zeis Shemen. Eretz Shekoshi Urek Zeisim. It's a land who all of its shiurim are kizesim. So the Gemara says, Eresh kol shirah kizesim. Kol shirah sakad naitcha? What do you mean a land that all of its shiurim are kizesim? Ha ika hani dam rinon. What about all of the things that we just said? Right? We just got finished with a whole list of things that have a different shear than a kizayis. So how can you say a land who all of its shiurim are kizesim? Ela ema shirov shirah kizesim. Rather say it is a land that the majority of its shiurim are measured by kizayis. The ones that we just quoted before, these are more of the outliers, these are the exceptions, but the majority of shiurim are measured according to kizayis. Divash, what do we do with divash? Kikoseves hagasa b'yom ha-kipurim. Oh, I will say again a little chazara. What do we learn from divash? Divash, we learn that lemaisa, that the size, the shiur for Yom Kippur, is the size of a koseves hagasa, the size of a large date. So we'll say, what do we see from here? What do we see from here at the end of the day? Alma da'oraisa. What comes out ultimately at the end of the day is that the shir is a da'oraisa. The shir is a da'oraisa. So Mosai, again, what are we trying to point out? The Gemara just said before that shi'urin are halacha l'moshe misinai. What have we just successfully proven? Eretz chita se'ora gefen te'ina eretz yeshemen udvash. These shi'urin are da'oraisa. They're from the pasuk. So how can you tell me they're halacha l'moshe misinai? To which the Gemara says, come on. Pitizmira, shi'urin miksivi. So the Gemara says, at the end of the day, this pasuk that we just darshan, this is not exactly an ironclad drasha, right? You told me that chita means that it's the half a loaf that you have to provide some manuga. That's all it means. I mean, the pasuk's not talking about that. Right? You kind of plucked these words out of these psukim and attached them to various shiurim, but it's not what we'd call normally a real drasha from a pasuk. The Gemara says, you're right, Elo, Hilchasaninu. The truth is, the concept of shiurim, the concepts of measurements on virtually all of them are all halacha l'moshe misinai, ukra asmachta ba'alma. Rabbosai, again, the concept of asmachta is a concept with which we are familiar with, which is what? The idea that sometimes you have a concept, whether it's a dirabanan, or whether it's a halacha l'moshe misinai, which is biblical, and the rabbis like to find a biblical proof text on which to associate either their rabbinic halacha, or ultimately the halacha l'moshe misinai. So the truth is, the concept of shiurim is halacha l'moshe misinai, but Chazal ultimately learned out, in quotations, from this pasuk of Shivas Aminim. So therefore, it does not contradict what we said before. The Gemara says, Chatzitzin, cross out the Yamu, Chatzitzin doraisen inu. So we'll say the second thing that the Gemara mentioned about ultimately being a halacha l'moshe misinai were Chatzitzin. So remember, Chatzitzin, Chatzitza is the concept of an interposition, something that would interrupt between the flesh, between the body, and the waters of the mikvah. So the Gemara says, is that true that chatzitza is halacha l'moshe misinai? After all, chatzitza is doraisa. Where did we learn that? From dichsiv, v'rachatz es bisara b'mayim. Because the pasuk says, he shall wash his flesh in the water. Shelo yehi davar chotzeitz beino l'bein amayim. So also the Gemara dashens from the fact that it says, it didn't have to say v'rachatz es bisara b'mayim. It could have just said what? V'rachatz b'mayim. What else are we talking about over here? So the fact that it says es bisara indicates that what? That the water must come in contact with every part of the flesh. Therefore, there cannot be any chatzitzos. So the Gemara says, no. Ki asai hilchasa l'saro. What does the halacha l'moshe misinai come to teach us? It comes to teach us about hair. Hair and the halachas of chatzitza. How so? So the Gemara says, if a person has, and by the way, understand, when we think about the laws of chatzitza, so we think about them in the context of women, right? Because again, today, pretty much the only da'oraisa tevila we have is tevila for a nida. But the truth is, these concepts apply equally for a man, because in times of the Beis HaMikdash, Halavai will have this soon, there are tevilos da'oraisas for men as well. So again, in this case, neima achas kshura, if a person has a hair, one hair that's tied in a knot, chotzetes, that creates a chatzitza. Why? Because the part that's knotted, there was a concern that what? The part that's knotted will not, right, water won't get through to it. However, shalosh, if you have three hairs that are knotted together, einon chotzetzos, they do not go ahead and create a chatzitza. The lad, look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says, neima achas kshura, umakpid alav. And the assumption is that a person does not want their hair knotted. Chotzetzes, it creates a chatzitza. Dinehadik shapir velo ailiba, because it sticks together, and ultimately the water will not get into it. Velo ailiba mayiva aminon lekaman gazinon ami utu amakpit shalosh inon chotzetzos lufi shaser kasha, because the hair sometimes can be brittle. Velo mehadik shapir vailiba mayo. If you try three in a knot, the knot will not be tight, and therefore the water will get in. So this is why halacha l'maaseh, when a woman does chafifa, when a woman does her preparations for a mikvah, one of the things she must do is what? She must comb through her hair, and really not just enough to brush her hair. She has to comb through her hair in order to make sure that there are no hairs that are knotted. So the Gemara goes right there. Neima achas kshura chotzeh shlosh in chal chotzos shtayim eini yodea. Two, I don't know. Two, I don't know. I don't know if two forms a strong enough knot that I'd have to be choshesh that the water would not get in or not. So what the Gemara now is suggesting is the concept that water has to come in contact with the flesh. There can't be any chatzitos. So that is a doraisa. Berachat is b'sura b'alayim. So what's the halacha l'moshe misinai? The halacha l'moshe misinai comes to teaching about hair. That halacha l'maisa hair, you have to make sure there are no chatzitos in a hair either. One hair tied in itself could create a chatzitza. Three does not, two we don't know. So Mar says, one second. Sa'aro nami doraisa, but that's not totally true. Se'ar, the concept of hair creating a potential chatzitza. What I mean by that is the concept that you have to be careful with hair as well, that hair does not create a chatzitza. It's also doraisa. Dichsiv, because what does the pasuk say? V'rachatz es bisara b'mayim. Es hatofa l'bisaro. Umaynihu saro. Boss, I watch this. The word S is l'rabos. S always comes as a ribui. S always comes to include something else. For example, kabe des avicha ve'esimecha, honor your father and your mother. The Gemara says, S, l'rabos achicha hagodol, comes to include your older brother. You have to give kavod to your older brother in the same way that you would give kavod ultimately to your parents. So the Gemara says, "V'rachatz es bisara." What does es come to include? S comes to include hair. Hair. That you have to be careful that there not be any chatzitzos by hair as well. So what do you see now? That you don't need a halacha Moshe Misinai by hair. Why? Because hair is also covered by the Doraisa. Oh, this is fascinating. You're right. So we'll say, I know. So here's the Doraisa. Rachatz Bisara teaches me, number one, what? Number one, what? That there can't be any chatzitza by the flesh. Number two, S teaches me what? No chatzitzos by the hair. So what does the halacha l'moshe misinai of chatzitza comes to teach me? Like Rabbi Yitzchak. Don't Rabbi Yitzchak come with this. Dvar Torah means, Rashi says, halacha l'moshe misinai. Listen to this. Rubo umakbid alav chotzitz. V'she'ino makbid alav, ino chotzitz. So also listen to this. The halacha l'moshe misinai teaches, is very interesting. What is the halachic definition of a chatzitza? What's the definition of a chatzitza? So the Gemara says to have a chatzitza, to have an interposition requires two things. Number one, rubo, it covers the majority of the body. And number two, makbid alav, you don't want it there. Something you would wish, it's something you would rather not be there. That creates a chatzitza. V'she'eno makbid alav, eno chotzeitz, but for example, middeorai. So if you were to have something, even if it covers the majority of your body, but what? You're not makbid on it, you don't care about it. L'maisa does not create a chatzitza. The Gazru, the rabbis came along and said, the Gazru al rubo she'eno makbid, mishum rubo ha-makbid. The rabbis were decreed in a case of rubo she'eno makbid, something that covers the majority of your body, but you don't care about, which mid'oraisa is fine. The rabbis came along and said, no, we're going to be gozra, that is a chatzitza as well. Why? Mishum rubo ha-makbid. Lest you come to confuse the case of rubo she'eno makbid, ve'eno makbid, with the case of what? Rubo umakbid. Furthermore, they were gozer. Va'al mi'uto ha-makbid, mishum rubo ha-makbid. They were also gozer in what case, Rabosai? Of a miut ve'eno makbid, something that covers, excuse me, miut ha-makbid. They were gozer in a case of a miut ha-makbid, a case of something that only covers a small part of the body, but you are makbid on, mishum rubo ha-makbid. Lest you confuse that with the case of rubo makbid. Rabosai, in other words, what happened is like this. Mid oraisa. The definition of chatzitza is what? Two criteria. Number one, rubah is covering the majority of the body. And number two, makbid. You don't want it there. Essentially, what the rabbis came along and said is, any case that has one of those two things, we're going to be gozer on. So either a case of rubo ve'eno makbid, or mi'uto umakbid. Those are two cases in which, again, you have one of the biblical criteria. We're going to be gozer that those cases also create the chatzitza, lest you come to confuse those cases, lest if we permit those cases, you may come to confuse them with the biblical case and end up saying that rubo umakbid is not a chatzitza. So the Gemara says, again, everybody clear on that? Just one more time. Mid'oraisa, and this is very interesting because these type of shailas come up all the time. Again, today the contemporary relevance is by Nida. But these kind of questions of chatzitos come up all the time in terms of situations of Nida going to the mikvah, whether it's a woman who has stitches, whether it's, because the common case often is a cast. You have other circumstances of bandages. Can't get a ring off. There are many, many fascinating applications of this. We'll deal with all those cases in Meseches Nida, actually, because that's where the primary topic is. But Lemaisa, what the Gemara is saying is like this. Midda Oraisa, the concept, the paradigmatic case, it's not just a paradigmatic case, the only case of Chatzitza is Ruba Umakbid, and the rabbis come along and are gozer in two additional cases. Ruba Be'eno Makbid, Chatzitza that covers the majority of the body, but you're not Makbid on it, or Miut covers the minority of the body, but Makbid. Why? Because both of those two cases share a common quality with the biblical case. Therefore, the rabbis prohibited those other two cases, lest you say that if we permit those cases, you may come to permit the biblical case as well. So the Gemara says, "V'ligzer nami amiuto she'eno makbid mishum miuto amakbid." So why don't we throw in another one over here? Why don't you go ahead and say, "Let's be gozer on miut ve'eno makbid." Let's be gozer. So right. So now miut ve'eno, which means it covers a small part of the body. And a woman doesn't care about it. A person doesn't care about it. But why don't we be gozer on that case? Lest what? Lest you come to confuse that with what? Mi'uto ha-makbid. Now, both remember, mi'uto ha-makbid was what? Was one of the rabbinic add-on cases. So why don't we now add on an additional case? Lest you come to confuse it with mi'uto ha-makbid. Inami mishum rubo she'ino makbid. Or because you'll come to confuse it with the case of what? Rubo she'ino makbid. So in other words, Gemara is asking now is, Why don't you add on an additional case, lest you come to confuse this case with the other rabbinic cases? To which the Gemara says, one second. He gufa gezera, v'ano nekom benigzar gezera legezera. So Gemara says, one second, let's be clear. The rabbis are already adding on a gezera. They're already adding on a protective measure. Remember, mid oraya says only ruba umakbid. That's problematic for a chatzitza. The rabbis came along and added on what? Ruba ve'ino makbid or miut umakbid. Don't start adding on now another layer of miut she'eno makbid, which again has neither of the biblical qualities, lest you come to confuse that with other rabbinic cases. And Rabosai, just you should know, this is halacha lemaisa. So again, I'm sorry. So what comes out over here, according to the Gemara, is the concept of chatzitza is learned out mid d'oraisa. The concept of chatzitza, and not only by the flesh, for achatz, Pizro teaches me that you can't have any chatzitza by the flesh. Not only that, S comes to what? What does S teach me? By the hair. By the hair. There can't be any chatzitzas by the hair. So what does it mean that there's a halacha lemoshe misinai by chatzitzin? Oh, because what's interesting is the following. It's really fascinating. What's interesting is that all the d'oraisa teaches me is that there's a concept of chatzitza. What doesn't the d'oraisa teach me? Right? What is a chatzitza? That's where the halacha lemoshe misinai comes in and says, oh, the definition of chatzitza is ruba umakbid. The definition of a chatzitza is something that covers the majority of the body, and a woman does, or person, you say woman, but a person does not want that there. And then the rabbis added on additional cases to safeguard the case. So mostly you should know this is important halacha lemaisa with this. Again, when a woman goes to the mikvah, so we are makbid on all chatzitzos. You know, if a woman's going to the mikvah, and let's say again she's going to go and she sees that she has
some stamps.
Right, a little bit of nail polish. Let's even do a little bit of nail because that's a common case. A little bit of nail polish that's on her finger. I don't care about it. The definition of makbid for, let's say, for nido would be a woman would go out in public with it and she wouldn't have any problem with it. So let's say she's about to go into the mikvah. She sees a little bit of nail polish right on the bottom of her finger. It doesn't matter. I wouldn't care about this in any. I'd be happy, more than happy, to go to shul like this, go out to this. Not a problem. That's so funny. Right. I'd have no problem going out like this. So we don't say, okay, if she doesn't care, so go. No, obviously, before a woman goes into the mikvah, so we remove all chatzitzos. And nail polish is a chatzitza. So we would tell her, go and remove that, and then you'll go into the mikvah. So the case that sometimes comes up is, let's say a woman goes ahead, went to the mikvah, comes home afterwards, or let's say the next morning, again, let's say the next morning she sees, there's nail polish there. There's nail polish. So I went to the mikvah with nail polish on it. So we'll say it could be a significant shaila because it depends. You know, if what she finds on her body is what's called a miut ve'eno makbid. Miut ve'eno makbid, it covers a very small part of the body, and that's something that she would normally care about. Then what? Then we say it's okay. Now, by the way, if she discovered this before, let's say right when she got home, before she was with her husband, so we would tell her, go back to the mikvah and immerse again after having removed the nail polish. But because again, we want, remember, nidas doraisa, there's an iser kares. There's an iser kares. If a man has relations with a woman who's a nida, we do not play any games. This is one area in halacha, we do not play any games with this. So halacha means we tell her to go back. But if she already is with her husband, I'm sorry? Correct. So I'm just pointing out that bidyevet, that's the right way to say it, bidyevet, if already she was with her husband or it's a day or two later, and she realizes I had the nail polish on my finger, we would not make her go back because, again, it's miut ve'eno makbid. Were she to discover a more significant chatzitza, I don't know, she finds something that's miut umakbid, or she finds something, I mean, she's not going to be able to overstand it's ruba umakbid, but she would say a miut umakbid, then again, we would want her to go back to the mikvah for that as well. Okay, so the Gemara goes back there. The Gemara says, mechitzin. What about mechitzin? So in our next case, mechitzin. So mechitzin avosai is halacha lemaisa, the halacha of partitions. Remember, the Gemara said before that mechitzin are d'oraisa. So hada amran. So we already, excuse me, mechitzin are halacha lemoshe misinai. So already we spoke about this was yesterday's discussion. This was at Amud Beis. We already spoke about the idea that a mechitza, that it has to be 10 tefachim, is a halacha lemoshe misinai. So the Gemara says, hani chal Rabbi Yehuda. That makes sense according to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda was the one who said, remember, Rabbi Yehuda was the one who would not learn it out from the Aron. So if that's the case, it makes sense that he says it's halacha lemoshe misinai. Ella, the Rabbi Meir, ma'ika le'neimar. But according to Rabbi Meir, what is it? He said, Rabbi, remember, what did Rabbi Meir say? Rabbi Meir was the one who said that you could learn out the definition of halacha mechitza, how? from the Aron, from the Kruvim, right from the height, from the nine of the Aron, the one of the Kapores. So ultimately, again, so Lamaisa, what does he do? Why does he need a halacha l'Moshe Mitzrayim? Ki asa hilchasa legud v'lavud v'davin akuma. Oh, because they will say, what does the halacha l'Moshe Mitzrayim of Mechitza come to teach me? It doesn't come to teach me the height. Doesn't come to teach me the height of the mechitza, but rather what it does come to teach me are all of these secondary halachos, which are good. Good, remember again, Rabosai, is we will see good osik, good achis, which represents again either bringing down halachic partitions, bringing up halachic partitions, lavut, which again Rabosai is the halacha that two items within three tefachim of each other can be considered to be linked. The Dofen Akuma. The Dofen Akuma we saw again on Friday was the bent wall. Yeah. Ultimately, remember we saw that case with the Intava in the middle of the non-kosher sukkah, which essentially says that as long as your wall is within four tefachim of your kosher schach, four amos of the kosher schach, we allow the wall to be considered as bent and actually extends all the way to the schach. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Meir, he does not need the halacha l'Moshe Mitzrayim for the height of the walls, but for him, the halacha l'Moshe Mitzrayim will teach you all of these other halachos concerning sukkah. The she'in lo shalosh tefanos. So the Gemara said, the Mishnah said, that any sukkah that does not have three walls, Lemaisa, again, it's not a kosher sukkah. So we'll say another fascinating discussion. Tana Rabbanan. So we learned in a braisa. Shtayin kilchasan ushlishes hafidu tefach. So we'll say this is the sheet of the Rabbanan. The Rabbanan hold that the minimum definition for a sukkah is two walls. Shtayin kilchasan. I also remember, what's the minimum shear for a wall? Not height. What's the minimum shear for length? We know this. Seven tefachim. Remember again, we paskin that a sukkah has to contain rosho rubo v'shulchano, which is seven tefachim by seven tefachim. Therefore, the minimum shear, the minimum length of a wall, will have to be seven tefachim. So the rabbanon say that the minimum dimensions of a sukkah. Remember, not talking about height. We dealt with height already. Now we're dealing with length of the walls. Shtayim kilchasan, or actually number of walls, really. Shtayim kilchasan, two halachically appropriate walls, which means two walls that measure seven tefachim each. Ushlishis afilu tefach. And a third wall, even if it's only a tefach. So according to the Rabbanon, you need two real walls and one tefach wall. Okay. Rabbi Shimon says, Rabbi Shimon Omer, shalosh kilchasan, or revius afilu tefach. Rabbi Shimon says, no, you need three regular walls, and the fourth wall has to be a tefach. It doesn't have to be a complete wall. So the Gemara says, fundamental machlokes. B'may kamiflagi. So what are we arguing about? Rabbanon savri yesh em lemasores, Rabbi Shimon savri yesh em lemikra. So we'll say this is very interesting. So we've had this machlokes elsewhere as well. The concept of em lemasores, em lemikra. The question is, how do you dash in the pasuk? Do you give primacy im lemasores to the way the words are written? That's the Rabbanon. You give yesh im lemasores means we give primacy to the way that the words are written. And Rabbi Shimon holds yesh im lemikra. We give primacy to the way the words are read. Now I will say, what does that mean? Look at Rashi for just a moment. Yesh im lemasores kimashakasav Moshe umaser b'sefer Torah liYisrael. So we'll say, when darshaning a pasuk, the Rabbanon say, we look at how the words are written and not necessarily how the words are read. Now, for example, look at these next lines of Rashi. We're going to see this in the Gemara, but I want to show you this here. For example, Basukos teshvu, yeshvu basukos, ki basukos al shafti, chad mole utrein chasyan. So we'll say, if you look at these phrases, so sukos is written two times in the Torah without the vav, what we call chaser, and one time with the vav. So chad mali, one time full, meaning with the vav, trein chaser. I'm saying, now go back to the Gemara for just a moment. This is really interesting. So the Gemara is suggesting over here, before we get into even what it means, that the machlokis is Rabbanan and Rabbi Shimon. Rabbanan holds sukkah is three walls, two of which have to be regular walls, one of which has to be a tefach, can be a tefach. Again, when we say a tefach, the Rabbanan are not limited to a tefach. You can make it a full wall if you want. It only has to be a tefach. Rabbi Shimon says a sukkah is four walls, three of which are regular walls, one of which is a tefach. So the Gemara says like this: Rabbanan savri yesh ein lemasores. The rabbis say that we focus on how the word is written. So watch this: basukos, hari kan arba. And I will say this gives us four. Now how does the Gemara dash this? Watch this. It's very interesting. The Gemara is going to assume that every time basukos is written chaser, is written deficient, i.e. without the vav, that counts as one. counts as one. So basukos, one, without the vav. Basukos, one. And basukos with the vav counts as what?
Two.
Counts as two. So what does that give me? So I'm only up three. Right? That gives us four. Hari kan arba. That gives us, now when it says four what? Four walls. Dal chad legufe. Now, you have to take one away. Why do you have to take one away? Because the first mention of sukkos teaches me what? Sukkah. Teaches me the mitzvah of sukkah. So I can't use that for a drasha. So now if I take away one, what am I left with? I'm left with three. So remember, I've taken away the first basukkos, the first chaser one, for the legufe. Pashlut tlasa. That leaves me with three. What do I do with the three? Shtaim kilchas. And that teaches me that two walls have to be regular, appropriate walls. V'asi hilchasa. And the halacha l'moshe misinai comes along and what? Teaches me that the third wall doesn't have to be a full third wall, only has to be what? A tefach. Okay? V'ukma a tefach. And the minimum, we know the minimum shir chashivos is a tefach. So I will say, that's the position of the Rabbanon. So again, remember, this is yesh im l'masores. We have sukkah written three times. Two times chaser, one time malay, two times without the bav, one time with the bav. That yields me four. Take away one of those because ultimately that's used for the mitzvah. So that leaves me with three. Teaches me that sukkah requires three walls. Halach l'moshe misinai teaches me that what? Only two of those walls have to be complete. One of those walls could be a tevach. Rabbi Shimon holds no. Yesh em l'mikra. Rabbi Shimon says that we look not at how the word is written, but rather how the word is read. And how was the word read, Rabbi Osang? Remember, even the words basukos that don't have above are read as if what? As if they do. Therefore, if you go with this approach, basukos, hari kan shesh. Therefore, Rabbi Osang, ultimately, because remember, the plural of basukos is two. That's where the Gemara is getting this from. The plural is two. So therefore, according to Rabbi Shimon's model, yesh em l'mikra, we look at how we read it. We read it as a plural. Therefore, that yields me six sukos. Dal chad kra legufe. Again, everyone agrees that l'maisa, you have to go ahead and take out the first sukos for what? To teach you the ikra mitzvah of sukkah. Therefore, if you take out one, what are you left with? Pashaluhu arba. That leaves me with four, teaching me that a sukkah is comprised of four walls. But what kind of walls? Shalosh kilchasan. Three of them have to be regular. Asai hilchasa v'garasa l'revias. And the halach l'moshe misinai comes to teaching that what? That the fourth one does not have to be as whole as the others. And therefore what? Bu'uk masa tefach. And it just has to measure at least a tefach in space. So we're going to have multiple versions of this machlokes between Rabbanon and Rabbi Shimon. So according to this first version, it's a fundamental dispute in how to darshan the psukim. So then actually, it's interesting. According to this approach, their argument is not necessarily about the essence of sukkah. Their argument is about what? They are arguing really in exegetical principles. They're arguing in how you darshan psukim. According to the Rabbanon, yesh em lemasoris, you ultimately look at how it's written. It's written chaser male, which leads you to four. Take out one for the actual mitzvah itself, leaves you with three. And everyone agrees that there's a halacha l'moshe misinai that says what? That last wall can be less than the previous ones. Therefore, again, that leaves you with two full, one tefach. Rabbi Shimon, yesh em lemikra, sukos, all male gives you six. Take away one, ultimately for the mitzvah, leaves you with four. Four walls, halacha l'moshe misinai tells you, three whole, one tefach. Okay.
How do we know which one to take out for the mitzvah?
I'm sorry? The first mention. The e-boy sema, another possibility. Other possibilities. The chuli alma, yesh em l'mikra. Okay, so we'll say now another version. Maybe the other possibility is like this. Everyone agrees, yesh em l'mikra, meaning that we focus on how the words are read and not how they are written. So the Gemara says, if that's, so we'll say again. Now remember, if you take that model, then the Rabbanon should also hold that what? That l'maisa, there should be four walls, three of them complete, one of them a tefach. So Gemara says, oh, I'll tell you, b'hocha b'hocha miflagi, here's what they're arguing about, very interesting. Mar sabra sichacha baikra, umar sabra sichacha lo baikra. Oh, and what are they arguing about over here, Rabbi Osang? The fundamental machlokas is, do you need to use up one of the sukkos for schach or not? So we'll say, here's what's interesting. And the Maharam points this out, which the Gemara, it's fascinating how the Gemara assumes that you're supposed to know this, and even Rashi assumes you're supposed to know this. In this model, if you were to take away one of the sukkos for schach, you would not be removing two. You'd only be removing one. Because remember, Rabosai, follow me for just a moment over here. In this model, everybody subscribes to the idea of yesh em l'mikra. If everybody agrees that yesh in lemikra, then what does that mean? Every sukkos is looked at mole, right? Sukkos, which yields you what? Which yields you six. Now, again, remember, you're taking away the first one for what? For the gufei, for the mitzvah. Now, then the Gemara is going to suggest that the Rabban Rabbi Shimon are arguing about whether or not to take away another one for schach. Now, if you say you're taking another one, a whole one, then what are you left with?
Two.
So the man says it can't be you're taking away two. It must be what? One. You're taking away one of the plural. Because remember, sukkos is plural. You're only taking away one of the two sukkos. Because obviously nobody's suggesting two. So therefore, the rabbanon say you take away one of the remaining four. And therefore, lemaisa, you're left with three walls. Shtayim kil chasan. Halacha l'moshe misinai says one tefach. According to Rabbi Shimon, you are not removing another sukkos from ultimately the remaining four, and therefore four walls, three kil chasan, one a tepach. Vibay sema, another possibility. It's very exciting. Vibay sema, another possibility is the chuli alma yesh in lemasores. Our other possibility is that no. Everybody agrees yesh in lemasores. In lemasores means what? There is primacy given to the written form. Now, both say, you remember, written form means what? Two chasar, one mali. Two chasar, one mali. Now, remember, if you're getting two chasar, one mali, then what? How many are you getting? Getting four. And remember, you're really only going to have three to work with. Why? Because the Maisa Chag L'Gufe. So the Gemara says, V'hacha v'hacha m'yafagi. Here's what they're arguing about. Mar savar ki ase hilchasa l'gareya. Oh, so we'll say, this is very interesting. So now follow this. According to this approach, everyone is saying yesh in l'masoras, which means, again, we look at how it's written. Remember how it's written, you're going to get sukkos chaser, sukkos male, which gives you a total of four walls. So now, again, I'll both say, now remember, and then you're not really working with four walls. Why? Because you're taking one off for the actual mitzvah. So three walls. So what's the machlokes? This is amazing. So mar savar ki asai hilchasa ligareya. The Rabbanan hold that what does the halacha l'moshe misinai come to do? The halacha l'moshe misinai comes to detract from the remaining three walls. How does it detract from the remaining three walls? What does it say? You need two holes, and one just has to be a tefach. Umar Savar, Rav Shimon holds, ki asay hilchasa lahosif. And Rav Shimon holds that what? The halacha l'moshe misinai comes along and says what? There's got to be a fourth wall. But again, that fourth wall need not be a complete wall. That fourth wall only has to be a tefach. Viba yisema. Another possibility. Another possibility, in this fourth version, I will say everybody agrees that what the halacha l'moshe misinai does not come to add, but rather comes to take away from the requisite number of walls. And furthermore, everyone agrees that there is primacy given to the written form. And ultimately, what's the machlokes? Oh, so you will say, here's what's interesting. Until this point, we've always taken for granted that what? That the first sukkos is not available for drasha purposes. Why? Legufei. Oh, no, not so pashat. Bahacha bedarshin tchilos kamiflagi. Here, what's the machlokes? Rabbi, I remember again, if you paskin yesh im lemasores, that there is privacy given to the written form, then you have sukkos chaser, sukkos male. How many does that give you? Four. Now, we always assume that you're never working with four, you're always working with three, because the first sukkos is automatically taken off. Says, maybe not. Maybe that's good for the machlokas. Mar savar darshin tchilos. Rabbi Shimon darshins that you could even go ahead and darshin the first sukkah. Remember, I'm not disagreeing. The first sukkah also teaches you the mitzvah. But just because it teaches you the mitzvah does not mean what? Does not mean that it's not available for drasha purposes. So I'm going to still, so again, it teaches me the mitzvah, but I could still darshin. If I could still darshin, then how many walls do I have? Four. Because now all of them are available. And the halacha Moshe Misinai teaches me that what? Three are whole, one is a tefach. Umar Sabra Drabonon hold ain darshin tchilos. No, we don't darshin the first mention of a mitzvah. Why? Because that is necessary ligufe. That is necessary for the mitzvah itself. Therefore, according to Rabbanan, you really only have three sukkos available. One of them is diminished by the halacha Moshe Misinai, two walls and a tepach. Rav Masna says, Taima de Rav Shimon lehocha. No, Rav Shimon's logic is from here. Because what does the pasuk say? V'sukkah. Tia letzel yomam mecharva. So we quoted this pasuk already in the first daf of the Masechta, the pasuk of Ayishayo. The sukkah will be, this is reference to the Messianic era. The sukkah will be to provide you for shade during the day from heat. Ulamachse ulamistor mizerem umimatar. And it will provide you with protection and refuge from zerem and matar, from the driving rain. So the Gemara says, so what does this mean? So according to Rabbi Shimon, so what does that do? Look at Rashi. L'mechsa ulemestar ulemistar ubelo arba mechitzos lav machsa mizerem shu sharuach meshev es hazerem derech dofen aparos. Avosai, so Rabbi Shimon says, if the Navi refers to a sukkah as a structure that can protect you from the elements, the only way a structure can protect you from the elements is how? Is if it has walls on all sides. Because if it's totally open on one side, then what? Then the driving rain, when the wind picks up, the wind could go ahead and carry the rain inside your sukkah. So Bo said, this is amazing. So now, what the Gemara was, so now we have five different interpretations of the Machlokes of Shimon and the Rabbanon. Four were really based on this Yesh in Lamikra, Yesh in Lamasoras, as well as Darshan Tchilos. Rav Maslin wants to suggest Rav Shimon's sheet is much simpler. Rav Shimon darshins the pasuk from Yeshayahu, and he understands that if the sukkah in its essence has to be a structure that protects me from the elements, then halacha lemaisa, it must have four walls. So we'll say, we'll stop over here for today. So again, we have not finished this sugya yet. But just understand that we've just touched on, see, here's what we've come out with today. We've come out with number one, that the concepts of shiurim, mechitzin, and chatzitzin are learned out from two different sources. The Iker Halachas are learned out mid-Oraisa, are learned out from biblical verses, from actual Pesukim in the Torah, but each of them has their own Halacha Moshe Mishinai component that fills in some of the details. We've also just stepped into one of the major Machloksim, in Sukkah, namely, what is the fundamental dimensions of Sukkah? We've dealt with up till now until height. Now we're focusing on what's the measurement of the walls. According to the Rabbanon, Shtayim Kilchason, Achos Tefach, two regular walls. Regular meaning what? Seven Tefachim. One just has to be a Tefach. According to Rabbi Shimon, no, you require three full walls, i.e. Zayin Tefachim, and the fourth one being a Tefach. Well, the Mir Tzashem pick up tomorrow with this Sugya. Oh, Halacha Maisa, thank you. So also, I just wanted to figure, because a lot of you asked me about this, and I thought this actually, I included it in Friday's packet, but we never actually got to do it. I wanted to show you the Halacha Maisa on the good Asik. The good asik by sukkah. Because the truth is, remember, there are two halachas. We only talked about good asik. We'll talk about also good achis. We saw good achis by Erevin. Good, remember, again, the case we had is, remember, if you think about it, there's a very easy way to create your sukkah, which is, if let's say you live in a building, you could create it on the top of the building, and as long as you put your poles on the edges of the building, so the walls of the building itself should go upwards and make your sukkah. That's good asik. But the truth is, even without that, good achis could give you another way to build your sukkah, which is how? Create your sukkah on four poles, and what happens? There's a concept of pi tikra yorid besosim, that as long as you have a frame on top, the top of the frame should extend downward and go ahead and form walls as well. So do we paskin this way by sukkah? Because if you do, sukkah building has become a heck of a lot easier. If that's so, look at the so this is the Shulchan Aruch in Simen Tav Reish Lamed Sif Vav. Again, Tav Reish Lamed 636. Naot dalit kundisin bein be'em tzagag bein me'asa tzagag. If you put four poles, and remember the Shulchan Aruch says, whether you do it in the middle of the roof or on the corners of the roof, v'sichech al gabon, and you put schach on top of that, psula. Shulchan Aruch paskins, it does not work. But v'yesh machshirin. Okay, it doesn't work unless you hold that it does. Right? So again, so it's puzzle. But there are those who say that it's good, b'naot asfasagag. So there are some who say that if you take your four poles and you put it, let's say, on the corners of the roof, that it should work. Mishum da'aminon, good asik mechitzta. Because it says, good asik mechitzta. Because again, they hold that the walls of the building could go upwards. Now, I will say, it's very important to know. There's a concept of klai hara. In general, when the Shulchan Aruch says, the halacha is A, and then he says, and yesh machshirim or yesh omrim B, who does the halacha follow? The halacha follows the original statement of the Shulchan Aruch. Unless, of course, the Shulchan Aruch adds in the words, v'hachi nohog, this is what we do. So we'll say, halacha lemaisa, the way we paskin, is that we do not rely on good asik or good achis for a sukkah. So meaning, if you were to live in, the easiest illustration is an apartment building, or if you have a flat-roofed home, and you put your four poles on the corners of your roof, the sukkah is not good. The sukkah is not kosher, even though there were those who said it was. Why? The Mishnah Berurah comments on this, and he says, Legabe sukkah sirle deba'inon mechitzos mamish. Because of us, we will see that by sukkah, we paskin that you need real mechitzos. You need actuals. Of us, I'll tell you an interesting caveat to this. You may have noticed. So that's halacha lemaisa. We do not employ good asik by a sukkah. You need real walls. Now, that being said, as you'll notice, if you've bought a prefab sukkah in the last couple of years, you'll notice that the latest halachic innovation is labud straps, right? Because the big problem with canvas sukkahs or material sukkahs is the flapping. Because remember, if the wall will actually get to the sukkah, if the wall blows too much, the sukkah is not kosher. The walls are not kosher. So they came out with these labud straps, which essentially are what? These are straps that go around your sukkah. They're built into they're part of the sukkah. They go around the sukkah. And they're within three tefachim of each other, which employs the concept of what? Of lavut, which creates essentially a solid halachic wall. Now, what's interesting is the following, that even though halacha lemaisa, we say you require mechitzos mamish, the exception to that rule will be lavut. Why? Now, it's not really an exception, because what does lavut do? What does lavut say? That items that are within three tefachim of each other are what? Are connected. So that creates a halachic reality. So even the one who says that lemaisa, even though Shulchan Aruch says we cannot use good osik for a mechitza, lavut will still work to create mechitzas, but we'll see those sugyas later on. All right.
Another question. Yes, sir. But Mr. and Sasha will not be able to see that.